Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Laindon Baptist Church. We're going to start with a few words of prayer. Lord, this morning we come into your presence with praise and thanks for your guidance and comfort during the week that's just gone. Rely on you to bring us through whatever lies ahead in these coming days. But first, we pause to worship you, to concentrate on you and your word, to join together as best we can with your people in your presence, and to be aware of what you have to say to us. And we ask all of these things in your name. Amen. For our first hymn, which hopefully you'll be able to join in with at home, we're going to sing Shine, Jesus, Shine.
For the light of your love is shining in the midst of your dark, is shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Let us free by the truth you now bring us.
Theme of light, we're going to read now from John's Gospel, the first few verses of chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The second hymn is Worthy, O Worthy Art Thou, Lord. For our main Bible reading this morning, Keith is going to read Judges 20, verses 6 to 23.
I took my concubine, cut her into pieces, and sent one piece to each region of Israel's inheritance, because they committed this lewd and disgraceful act in Israel. Now, all you Israelites, speak up and give your verdict. All the people rose as one man, saying, "None of us will go home. No, not one of us will return to his house. But now this is what we'll do to Gibeah. We'll go up against it as the lot directs. will take 10 men out of every 100 from all the tribes of Israel, and 100 from 1,000, and 1,000 from 10,000, to get provisions for the army. Then, when the army arrives at Gibeah in Benjamin, it can give them what they deserve for all this vileness done in Israel. So all the men of Israel got together and united as one man against the city. The tribes of Israel sent men throughout the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What about this awful crime that was committed among you? Now surrender those wicked men of Gibeah so that we may put them to death and purge the evil from Israel." But the Benjamites would not listen to their fellow Israelites. From their towns they came together at Gibeah to fight against the Israelites. At once the Benjamites mobilized 26,000 swordsmen from their towns, in addition to 700 chosen men from those living in Gibeah. Among all these soldiers, there were 700 chosen men who were left-handed, each of whom could sling a stone at a hare and not miss. Israel, apart from Benjamin, mustered 400,000 swordsmen, all of them fighting men. The Israelites went up to Bethel and inquired of God. They said, "Who of us shall go first to fight against the Benjamites?" The Lord replied, "Judah shall go first." The next morning, the Israelites got up and pitched camp near Gibeah. The men of Israel went out to fight the Benjamites and took up battle positions against them at Gibeah. The Benjamites came out of Gibeah and cut down 22,000 Israelites on the battlefield that day. But the men of Israel encouraged one another and again took up their positions where they had stationed themselves the first day. The Israelites went up and wept before the Lord until evening, and they inquired of the Lord. They said, "Shall we go up again to battle against the Benjamites, our brothers?" The Lord answered, "Go up against them."
Now we come to a hymn which has been chosen by Mike, who will be bringing us the word in a little while, and it is "Stand Up and Bless the Lord." Now going to hand over to Mike, who's going to speak to us on that verse, those verses.
Good morning, everybody. A very warm welcome. My job here this morning is to introduce to you the book of Judges. Real heroes are very hard to find these days. Who is your hero? Most of our leaders, popular for a while, are brought down to earth quickly by our media, who make their shortcomings very apparent. We search for people to emulate. And when we find them in music stars, sports stars, TV personalities. But they rise to the top and quickly fade away. But Judges is a book about heroes. 12 men and women who delivered Israel from their oppressors. They weren't perfect. In fact, they included an assassin, a sexually promiscuous man, and a person who broke all the laws of hospitality. But they were submissive to God, and God used them. Let's go back a little bit and think where we are in the story so far. The Israelites had been freed from Egypt and slavery. Moses had led them through the wilderness, enduring all the people's grumbling. You can only imagine how Moses was driven to tearing his hair out as the people repeatedly turned away from what God wanted from them. Eventually, they arrived at the Promised Land. 12 men were sent out to spy out the land. They all reported what a great place they'd been led to. But only two had the courage to say, "Let's go in and possess the land." They were Joshua and Caleb. Moses died, and Joshua became the new leader of Israel. And the book of Joshua ended with the people taking a stand for God, ready to enjoy all the benefits of the Promised Land. Under Joshua's leadership, the people began to enjoy the blessings of the Promised Land. But when Joshua and other leaders died, the Israelites lost their spiritual commitment and motivation. They experienced a leadership vacuum, had no strong central government, and instead of enjoying what God had promised to them, they turned to sin. They became disobedient to God. They refused to eliminate the enemy completely, as God had told them. Instead, they intermarried with the Canaanites. They turned to idolatry and followed the gods of the local people. In fact, they did whatever they wanted to do. Before long, they became captives. Then, out of desperation, they begged God to rescue them. In faithfulness to his promise and out of his loving kindness, God raised up a judge to deliver his people. Then for a time, there would be peace. Then, you've guessed it, they'd return to sin and the cycle would begin again. The book of Judges spans over 325 years. There are recorded in the book of Judges six periods of oppression by their enemies. Each is followed by the people's repentance, and a judge is raised up by God to deliver them. The rescue of Israel by the judges in the six periods of oppression were, firstly, Othniel. He was the younger brother of Caleb. It says in Judges 3 that the Israelites forgot the Lord their God and worshipped Baals and Asherahs. They were the local gods. And after 8 years of oppression, they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord raised up Othniel. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went to war. So the land then had 40 years of peace while he lived. He died, and the people fell into sin again. The Moabites, together with the Ammonites and the Amalekites, ruled over Israel for another 18 years. So that was the second period of oppression. And the judge that led them out of it was Ehud, and then Shamgar. The people cried out to God again, and he gave them a deliverer. He was the assassin and was followed by Shamgar, who cut down 600 Philistines with an ox goad and saved Israel. Then, after Ehud died, the people reverted to their sinful ways, and they were overcome by the king of Canaan. So again, they lived through a period of oppression. Deborah and Barak were the next two. Deborah was a prophetess, and she called on Barak to help her. And Barak led the fighters, and they won. Read Judges 4 and 5. And there was peace for 40 years. Then the people fell into sin again and were conquered by the Midianites. They so ill-treated the Israelites that they took to the hills, and the Israelites lived in caves to try and get away. I'm sure you will have heard of the next judge called Gideon. God raised him up, and it's good to read his story in Judges 6, 7, and 8. And in chapter 9, to read about his son, Abimelech, who was a bad influence. After Abimelech died, Tola led Israel for 23 years, then Jair led Israel for 22 years. Nothing much is said about Tola and Jair, but after the death of Tola, Israel sinned yet again. Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon. Read about them in Judges 10, 11, and 12. In the end, of course, Israel sinned again. So they fell into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And then another judge who you've all heard of was raised up by God. His name was Samson. I know that you'll remember the stories of Samson and his great strength. And I expect you know your syrup tin or jar is the riddle, has on it the riddle that Samson set the people. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. You may well remember some of the stories about these judges. After each period of oppression, a judge was raised up by God, and each led to a period of blessing as God kept his promise. But each time, the people relapsed into sin. And so, to the next period. I would urge you to read about these judges. Not all were good people. There was an assassin, a mighty warrior, a promiscuous one, but each was inspired to do what God wanted, and they led the people as God fought their battles for them. But in the end, the book ends with this statement. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. The tribes had compromised God's command to drive out the inhabitants of the promised land. And look where it got them. Message for us this morning. Beware of compromising with wickedness. Don't fall into the trap that the Israelites fell into. Repeatedly, we've seen Israel sinning against God. And sin always has its consequences. Rather than living in the cycle of abandoning God and then crying out to him for rescue, we should seek to live a consistent life of faithfulness. God has given us guidelines for life in his word. Beware of falling into sin as the Israelites did. Don't get drawn into doing as you see fit. Put away all your idols and follow God. Trust only in Him.
Thank you very much, Mark. Now let's come to the Lord again in prayer. Lord, today we especially bring to you those that we know of who are grieving, and especially those who have been bereaved in the last couple of weeks. Lord, that you'll give them your strength and comfort. And we're also very much aware that many of us are concerned for our friends and relatives and neighbours, because some are sick, some are troubled, and they've got various needs. Lord, we pray for your peace for those of us who are concerned, and that you'll be with those who are going through all of these troubles, with healing or help, with whatever is needed. Lord, that you'll bless them and bring them through. And we think again of those within the church who are having special difficulties during this second lockdown. Again, Lord, that they will be conscious of your presence and your help through this difficult time. Let's take a moment. We've all got people on our minds. Let's just take a moment or two to bring those people that we're particularly concerned about before the Lord. And then we'll carry on with other prayers. And Lord, turning away from our own most particular concerns, we pray for everyone who's affected by the coronavirus, especially those around the world who are suffering with its effects on top of situations that are already difficult and dangerous and poverty-stricken. Lord, that you will deal with this dreadful disease, that it will be brought under control. We pray for a government that they'll be guided by your wisdom in all their decision making, both on the coronavirus and all the other business of government that still has to continue. Lord, there are so many things that we're concerned about. Every day seems to bring more difficulties and disasters. Remind us to come and place all of these things into your hands, and to ask and to be prepared to receive your peace. Amen. The final hymn is Lord of All Hopefulness, which is just what we need after we've been considering all of the difficulties that are around us. Thank you. Let's close our meeting this morning with prayer. First of all, we'll say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And let's leave with the grace, the blessing that we find at the end of Hebrews. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.